Listen local.
For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr. Welcome to Farm and Country, locally produced radio about rural life in the Catskills and the Delaware River Valley. On today's show, Lauren Cycley shares enthusiasm for this season's farmers market in Jeffersonville. Stephanie Phillips visits Iris Fenn-Gillingham at Gale Roots Community Farm in Livingston Manor. In the segment Now You Know, you'll learn about how to connect and collaborate with a sustainable agriculture experience. All of that and Keith Hubbard's Star Talk. Coming up on today's Farm and Country, after news headlines from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Israeli Defense Forces say they have rescued four hostages who were kidnapped in a Hamas-led attack on October 7th. The four were rescued alive from two separate locations in Gaza. Israeli Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari says the rescue mission was a high-stakes operation.
This was a high-risk, complex mission. Israeli forces have been preparing for this rescue mission for weeks. They risked their lives to save the lives of our hostages. This is what we do in Israel. We risk our lives to save the lives of our hostages.
Hamas abducted around 250 hostages in its deadly attack inside Israel 8 months ago. President Biden is being honored with a state visit in France today with celebrations and business on the agenda. NPR's Tamara Keith reports.
A welcome ceremony at the Arc de Triomphe. Then a bilateral meeting where there is much to discuss, including Gaza. President Macron has been more openly critical of Israel's conduct of the war than Biden has, and Ukraine, where Macron wants to take more aggressive action than Biden supports. White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby.
One of the things the president respects and admires so much about President Macron is that he's as honest and as forthright as Joe Biden is. That's what he wants to see in a friend and an ally, you know, and an ability to shoot straight, say what's on your mind.
Biden and Macron are also set to announce new agreements on maritime cooperation and meeting sustainable energy goals. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Paris.
The head of Britain's armed forces says work is underway to consider whether the UK should develop its own missile defense system. Philip Marks reports it could mirror the system that Israel calls its Iron Dome.
In an interview with the BBC, Admiral Sir Tony Radakin said that discussions inside the British military were already beginning to take place following Russia's 2022 invasion of Ukraine and the consequent change to the threats facing Britain and indeed Europe as a whole. He told the BBC that officials were considering whether such a defence system might be more limited in scope rather than being built to protect the entire British landmass.
Is this the superdome for Europe? Is this a more modest version where you focus on your larger cities and your critical national infrastructure? And then what is best for the protection of the whole of Europe?
Radakin said other European nations were already investing in fresh missile defence at a time when Russian attacks on Ukrainian cities and infrastructure have increased in recent months. For NPR News, I'm Willem Marks in London.
Dangerously hot conditions are forecast for parts of California and in the nation's southwest as a searing heat wave takes a toll. The National Weather Service says the region will experience some slight relief tomorrow, but severe storms are possible through the central part of the U.S., through the Mississippi and Ohio valleys. This is NPR.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
Welcome back to Farm and Country. I'm your host, Rosie Starr. Coming up on today's show, Lauren Cycley shares enthusiasm for this season's farmers market in Jeffersonville. Stephanie Phillips visits Iris Fenn-Gillingham at Gale Roots Community Farm in Livingston Manor. In this segment, Now You Know, you'll hear about how to connect and collaborate with a sustainable agriculture experience. First, here is Keith Hubbard with this week's Star Talk report. Thank you for joining us on Radio Catskill for this week's locally produced Farm and Country.
And Country. I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. Look toward Leo before midnight on Tuesday to see the waxing crescent moon. The moon will be to the right of Regulus, the brightest star in the constellation Leo. Regulus is a bright blue-white star and is the bottom star of the sickle. The sickle is a group of six stars resembling a backward question mark and is the identifying feature of Leo. The sickle is the mane of the lion, and a triangle of stars forms the hindquarters. Leo is one of the earliest recognized constellations. Nearly every ancient civilization saw Leo as a lion. Mesopotamians, Syrians, Persians, Turks, Greeks, and Romans all recognized the stars of Leo as a lion. Only the Chinese saw Leo as something other than a lion. They saw Leo as a horse. To find the sickle, draw a line from the last two stars of the bowl of the Big Dipper down. If you go out at the same time each night this week, you will find Leo in the same part of the sky. The same cannot be said for the moon. The moon seems to race across the sky. Its location will change by nearly 13 degrees each night. That's a little less than the distance between your index and pinky fingers extended at arm's length. The moon will be near Regulus on Tuesday, and by the end of the week, it will be near the star Spica. Head out on Tuesday evening and look in the western sky to see Leo and the moon. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future Star Talk segments, my email address is startalk@farmandcountry.org. For Farm and Country and Star Talk, this has been Keith Hubbard reminding you to keep looking up.
Here is Lauren Cycli from the Jeffersonville Farm Market at the site of the Jeffersonville Bake Shop.
My name's Lauren Cycli. In years past, this is, I think, the fourth year for Jeffersonville Farmers Market. Wild Russet Farm had been running it here at my bakery at Jeffersonville Bake Shop. They got it started. This year, they are very, very busy on the farm, so they're not able to run this on Sundays. So we picked it up, and along with Alyssa at Windy Willow Farm, who's sort of been guiding me because I've never done this before, she just kind of helped get us all together. We've got 10 vendors today, the bands, and now we're sort of booked up until about late September. And we'll be here every Sunday, starting at 11 a.m., and we'll go till 2.
I've been inside the bake shop and been upstairs also. I'm honored to meet the person behind all of this. And the fact that you organized a community event like this is very special. It's nice to walk in and hear the music. And here we are in the presence of a spinner.
This is Gail Carbone, and she's with Willow Wool Farms, and she's got a farm in Calicoon with all of her sheep. 13 sheep. I was privileged to be able to watch all of them get sheared, and I feel like I got to know each and every one of them. But anyway, so she's here with all of her products that she makes from the sheep, and I asked her if she wouldn't mind bringing her wheel so she could sort of give demonstrations on spinning. So I just got a video of her. I'm going to put that up on our Instagram, and it's fascinating. Gail has been knitting since she was about 8. So if you know, any questions that anybody has about knitting, it's this gal right here. But you're right. It's an amazing community moment where on a lazy Sunday, we've got everybody in the back parking lot. So there's lots of room to move around, lots of room to just sit and enjoy the band. Of course, we're at the Jeffersonville Bake Shop, so people can go in and get lunch or they can get breakfast. Eventually, we'll have some stuff here for the kids. You can bring your dog. There's plenty of parking. There's some shade. So anyway, it's just one of those more laid back farmers markets where you actually have time to talk to your farmers, talk to your neighbors, talk to the people that you didn't even realize had a farm next to you.
Well, you have a beautiful vision for the community.
We also have the garden, and so the garden is really coming into bloom right now. And that also feels like when you step off of Main Street and you can sit in the garden and just sit among the catnip, and it does feel like a quieter world. And I'm glad you feel that way. I feel that way too. So being back behind the building and just being around people, especially as we are all coming out of having had to be away from each other for so long, it's nice to finally be able to do something like this where we can all spend a few hours together on a lazy day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And say hello to community member Sama Fakhouri, representing the Upper Delaware Actions for a Free Palestine.
We are a new group that has just formed. It's been a few months. The name of our group is Upper Delaware Actions for Free Palestine. And we are setting up this table here as an informational outreach to the community so that people can learn more about what is going on currently in the Middle East. And if you are interested to sign up to be able to, on our mailing list, to find out about activities that we are going to have. We already had a cultural event here a couple of weeks ago with some delicious food, and we showed a movie, and then there's more coming in July. There's a movie and a talk by people who are going to come and talk about the issue, and so that's what we're doing.
Well, this is a great place to be around people and get the word out. You chose the Jeffersonville Farmers Market.
Yes, and on a beautiful day also.
Well, thank you for what you do in the community, and we'll be looking forward to connecting with you again.
Good morning. This is Stephanie Phillips with Now You Know for Farm and Country. Today I'm in Livingston Manor at Gale Roots Community Farm. My guest is founder and manager of the farm, Iris Fenn Gillingham. Iris, please introduce yourself.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. My name is Iris Fenn Gillingham, and I grew up on Wild Roots Farm in between Livingston Manor and Youngsville. The community here has had a huge impact on who I've become as an adult. So starting Gale Roots Community Farm came out of the dream of having more young people in our region, specifically in my hometown, really developing a connection with food, where their food comes from, how food is grown, and the land that we have here, and building richer community connections. I grew up spending a lot of time outdoors on the land, eating food from the land, and spent several years living in other places, in Maine, in North Carolina, and realized that I wanted to come back to my parents' farm. And when I did, there became an opportunity to actually start a community farm down the road. And this felt like a really powerful opportunity to do something and give back to the community that raised me and that I love so much. Gale Roots Community Farm was born out of this dream of really developing connections and supporting young people in this area. Also just fostering a strong community tie to the Catskill Mountains, because we have seen so much change in this region in recent years, and tying back to our roots as a community that values agriculture, values our neighbors, and what we can share and do together as community members is super important to me.
You're calling it a community farm. Can you explain exactly what that means?
Yeah, the reason that I named it Gale Roots Community Farm is because this farm came out of not just a dream that I had, but a dream that my parents also thought of, and I heard in my local community of, why can't we get more local food into our local schools? Or we want to get more young people on the land. We want to build the bridges. When I started Gale Roots Community Farm, it was started with a huge backing of community support from my parents to neighbors to friends. Everyone who has been a part of the farm has helped to tend the land, to fix up infrastructure. It's not been an effort that I've just been undertaking on my own. It's been entirely a community effort to create this farm, and I really want it to be a place that community members can connect and collaborate together and use this place as a center for developing stronger connections to place and this region. In that way, a lot of what we do is a collaborative effort. So in some ways, the farm is kind of collaboratively run. We do a lot of collaborations with local organizations, with our neighbors, friends.
So how do you manage to round up these neighbors and friends to help you with your farm? Not easy, right?
I am learning a lot about working with community members. And luckily, my background was in organizing, doing climate justice organizing. So I already had a strong basis in how to connect with people in different communities. So doing it in my own community is just even more heartwarming because it's people that I've known my entire life that have incredible skills that they want to share, they want to contribute. And so a lot of it is just relationship building and really talking to community members, putting aside differences, developing relationships with folks who are moving to the area more recently, and really fostering the roots and relationships of people who've been here for generations and really love this place and want to see it flourishing. There's so much love and care that people put into the region, to my hometown, and I want that energy here at this farm. You know, agriculture is not a singular thing. It's always been a practice of community collaboration, and a lot of times in this region it's been focused on family, and family farms are a huge part of Catskill history, and we're losing some of that, but I think that there's a huge opportunity for people to connect together, whether they're related or not, but find commonality in the values that we're creating on the farm around food and education and fiber arts. Collaboration and community are just a part of all of that and a part of what people get out of the experience when they come here.
I can imagine that it's not particularly easy to get people to, say, dig holes, clean the chicken coop, plant the seeds.
It is actually really wonderful to see people dive into harder tasks when they come to the farm and experience something new. I think people are actually craving to get their hands in the soil, and there's not enough opportunities for that. And because we're new, we're starting slow and trying to do it in a sustainable manner. There's a lot of teaching involved. A lot of people are learning as they go, and as we go, I'm learning as well. So it's kind of like an exploratory journey together of, like, how do we physically work hard and enjoy the time we have together and also enjoy the abundance that is around us. We planted about 10 new apple trees, and it was really awesome. We had 2 volunteers with us, and we got to plant apple trees that my dad and I had grafted from apples on my parents' farm and some other local farms. It was a beautiful passing on the fruit, basically. We're planting trees here on Gilroots Community Farm that come from trees that have already had a great amount of abundance and contribution to the local community through other farms. I was homeschooled and I was raised on a farm, and so I spent a lot of time at the library doing programs, different stuff within our community, and a lot of my friends as well. I just grew up volunteering. So many people around here will happily jump up and help if someone says, hey, who wants to help with this thing? And that's a part of what it means to live in a rural area. And that's what I love about this area. I want to keep fostering that. And especially for young people growing up around here, I want them to see the benefits of living in a rural area and how valuable the communities around here are.
Well, you were homeschooled, but then you went off to college. Where did you go to school?
So first I went to SUNY Sullivan for 2 years, and then I went to College of the Atlantic in Maine, and I studied human ecology, which is the relation of people and their environment. So it actually fits in really well with what I'm doing now, even though I did not think at the time that I would be starting a farm. But I ended up studying food systems and climate justice, and I did a lot of work with the local community that I was living in Maine. And then I even took some education classes. I didn't realize that I would be using them to work with kids at the local school, but I just felt like it was a good set of tools to have. And I really enjoyed my experiences there. And it also really solidified the values and made me realize how much I appreciated where I came from and the values that I was instilled with, both on the farm and in my local community in the Catskills.
Who actually owns Gale Roots Farm, and how did you end up being the manager of the place?
I had moved home, and I had no plan for what I was doing. I knew I wanted to be here in the area, and I'd always been connected to this land. At one point when I was a kid, my parents had leased it and had 35 sheep on this farm and a dozen Highland cows. I had often said that this would make an amazing community farm because it was close to the road. It had the fields and pasture. And so when a for sale sign went up, I was like, oh my gosh, like we have to find out if there's a way to lease it or acquire it. One of the things that really devastated me was that there were developers looking at it and loggers looking at it. And I was like, we cannot let this land be developed because so many farms have been turned into housing and not kept in agriculture. And so I actually started talking to a lot of people about how we could do that. And we found folks who were supportive, and we had so many neighbors and friends and community members who stepped up and supported our mission and vision. And we were able to have the farm purchased and kept in agriculture. And now we're leasing it, and we have put together a lot of plans for what we want to do on the land, what we are planning over the next couple of years. We're moving slowly in a sustainable manner because one step at a time. It takes a lot of work to prepare the soil and to cover crop and do all of the things that we want to do to get the fields and pastures set up.
Can you tell the audience exactly where you are located?
We're located right in between Livingston Manor and Youngsville, parallel to Chandelier.
Nice. What vegetables have you grown successfully here?
We grew about 400 pounds of potatoes last summer as one of our first crops, just to test out some of the growing conditions. They did really well, which was wonderful.
That was year one. Wait till you come to year two and you'll see what also likes your potatoes besides just you.
It was really funny. We had some deer that got in and they only liked one of the varieties of potatoes. So we were laughing at how particular they were. But we have grown a lot of herbs. Last summer we grew tomatoes, herbs, potatoes, fiber flax, which we process and use, which is what linen is made out of. And then flowers. We are working on our heavier production field right now. A lot of that is dependent on as we're building fencing and building out infrastructure for deer protection, actually. And we are working on remineralizing and doing a lot of soil testing. Nothing has been put back into the soil in many, many years. And so we want to put down compost, and we're going to put down wood chips and doing all the things to care for this place so that we can build up the quality of the soil on the land here, liming it and everything. It's very acidic, very clay soil, but we are south facing, and many years ago, this was much more of an agricultural landscape, and so we're really excited to bring that back.
So you're quite a ways away from being able to live off of just the food that you're growing.
I don't think so. We're eating a lot from the land already. My parents already
they're growing a lot of their food. But there's also a lot of wild food here. So this spring I've been out harvesting dandelions and ramps and yellow dock and burdock and a lot of food that is already on this land. Nettles, all the things that people forage are here as well. We're building up the farmed produce that we want to have here, but there's already a ton of abundance.
Are you going to be planting something this year?
Yes, we'll be planting a lot of herbs, some vegetables and flowers. A large quantity of vegetable production will be happening over the next couple years because that's what we eat all summer with our farm crew. That's some of the educational programming we do. We get the kids out in the garden learning about planting. Our farm crew and farm interns that we have are always being taught about the soil and growing for not necessarily market at this moment in time besides the farm stand, but eventually for larger consumption.
You mentioned potatoes, but you're not living on just potatoes. What else have you actually planted and grown, or are you planning to plant?
Well, everything from arugula to tomatoes to kale. We've already grown some of that here, and we're working on growing more of it.
Have you grown beans?
Yep.
They grow very well in this area.
Yeah. The kids at Livingston Manor School love green beans. It's really great to get them out here in the fields. The way that I look at production of our vegetables is that we grow basically for the whole year. We are growing early greens, and then we're growing summer vegetables, and then come fall, we're putting a lot of stuff in the root cellar. And then all winter, what's being eaten is out of the root cellar. So that can include all sorts of things from the beets to whatever we make as well from the stuff in the summer, like dilly beans and kimchi, all of the things.
You haven't mentioned rocks.
Yeah, we are really lucky because there are not as many rocks here as the land that I grew up on. Because the fields here have had many of the rocks picked out over the years. There's still plenty of rocks, but as they say around here, we're wealthy in the Catskill diamonds.
Right. I think you'd better spell Gale Roots for people who want to go looking for you.
So Gale Roots is spelled G-A-E-L space R-O-O-T-S. And if they're wanting to find us online, they can go www.GaleRootsFarm.org. GaleRootsFarm.org.
So now you know where you can go to learn how to grow your own food. The expert for today has been Iris Fenn Gillingham, manager of Gale Roots Community Farm in Livingston Manor. If you'd like to suggest a local expert for me to interview, email me at stephanie@wjffradio.org. This has been Stephanie Phillips for Farm and Country.
We hope that you enjoyed our show this week with production by Radio Catskill volunteers Keith Hubbard and Stephanie Phillips. Special thanks goes to our guests, Iris Fenn Gillingham from Gale Roots Community Farm in Livingston Manor, and to Lauren Cycli from the Jeffersonville Bake Shop and Farmers Market, with Sameh Fakhouri representing the Upper Delaware Actions for a Free Palestine. This has been your host, Rosie Starr. Thanks for listening local to Farm and Country and supporting Radio Catskill.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond.
Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
Hello, I'm Thane Peterson, host of Living Jazz. You know, jazz is a great improvised art form that started in America, spread around the world, and is still going strong. That's why every Saturday afternoon I bring you the best in current jazz. It's the newest, most interesting music you can hear anywhere. Join me for Living Jazz, noon to two Saturday, here on Radio Catskill.